It's his world. You just live in it. This is the Warren Markowitz Show.
Those who would trade our freedom for the soup kitchen of the welfare state have told us they have a utopian solution, a peace without victory. They call their policy accommodation. And they say if we'll only avoid any direct confrontation with the enemy, he'll forget his evil ways and learn to love us.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Politics, 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 politics.
That's right. It's politics, politics, politics. Welcome and good morning. I am your host, Warren Markowitz, and this is Politically Incorrect on a Warren Markowitz Show, live on Spreaker.com. Hope everybody is doing well. Hope things are treating you well. It is a little late for our show this morning. It happens to be a simple fact that Windows decided to misbehave. Seems like I woke up this morning and discovered 500 gigabytes on my main hard drive. Just simply gone. So, between you, me, and the four walls, sounds like somebody's been poking around where they didn't belong. It's time to update the security measures and figure out what happened. If it happened to anybody else out there who is on Cox on the West Coast, please drop me a note at GaultSpeaks.com. It's just Warren at GaultSpeaks.com or at radio at WarrenMarkowitz.com. Whatever it is you want to use to send me a message, that would be wonderful because, to be perfectly honest with you, somewhere around midnight last night, the internet, TV, everything kind of froze up, went kind of goofy, and could have been something along the network. Who knows? But anyway, welcome again. Thank you very much for joining us. I do appreciate you taking the time out of your day to listen and join with us. I want to thank those of my listeners from my Red State Talk Radio time. Again, we're not on Red State at the moment. They may be running some of our old shows, but we're hoping to get things back in order and get back on there because some of you guys out there have listened to us on Red State Talk Radio, now follow us on Podomatic and on Spreaker. Again, a bunch of our old shows, over 100 of our old shows are on Blog Talk Radio, and you can find them on the Internet as well as on iTunes and, of course, subscribe to Facebook and Twitter at Radio Markowitz at both of those to follow us and find out when we're bringing things on. Tuesdays and Fridays, 10:30 a.m. Pacific time, is when we bring our shows to you. So, before we kick off and take a breather to start our day, I just want to remind everybody that gun control, it's on everybody's lips again, whether or not it is actually going to conversation will be effective. Whether or not the conversation will actually make any sense is something we want to talk about. Because unfortunately, just a day or so ago, 26 people were gunned down in a church. I don't know about you, but the idea of going to a church or a synagogue or a temple or a mosque or any place like that, a religious house of worship, and winding up having somebody next to me or myself or a family member or a friend or learning about them being injured is not what you think of when people get together to share their religious and familial beliefs and structures. It's to say it's not right is an understatement. To say that prayers and good wishes are with them is almost as empty as saying thank you for your service to a guy who's never really seen combat or done anything substantial in the military. It's almost like you have to say it. It's expected to be said. Well, bottom line is this. It really boils down to this. There are places in this world where not only do we not expect to be harmed, we don't expect anybody to be harmed or anybody to take a threat to it. But there's always something going on that leads us down that path of destruction. So sit back, relax, enjoy. We'll go wandering through my head, see where this whole conversation goes. I'll be right back after this quick commercial break. I'm Warren Markowitz, and you're listening to Politically Incorrect on a Warren Markowitz Show. Thank you.
separating the matter from the chatter. This is the Warren Markowitz Show.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-711-3017 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-711-3017. Again, that's 800-711-3017.
The Warren Markowitz Show. If you're thinking about it, we're probably talking about it.
Hey, I'm listening. I'm asking all of my technophiles out there, all the nerds that have gotten online for the best iPhone, newest Android device, cutting-edge laptop. If you guys or gals, you guys, general term here, have had any experience with the OnePlus devices, the 3, the 5, etc., please do me a favor. Just drop me a note. Let me know. Send it to, again, warren@warrenmarkowitz.com, radio@warrenmarkowitz.com, golfspeaks.com, wherever it is you want to drop that note, please do. I'm considering upgrading my phone. I've got a Huawei Ham 2, the Ascend Mate 2, 6-inch device. I've had it for about a year and a half now. I'm not going back to Samsung. I'm not going back to LG. I'm not going back to Nokia. Is probably long gone by now at this point in time. I'm certainly not looking for an archaic Windows device, but I'm looking for a cutting-edge cell phone, and I am not an Apple fan. So please, if you're an Apple fan, share your thoughts, but it ain't happening, dude. All right, I'm sorry. Okay, let's talk about the most recent events that have transpired. The 26 people that were injured or killed, the almost two dozen others that were injured. There's a bunch that are still in the hospital in critical condition. There's a handful in serious condition. There was only about 50 people in the church. And of that, just about everybody was shot and injured. And at this point, more than half have been killed. And what we get out of this is this. We get the left who turning around and saying, gun control, gun control, gun control. You got to take weapons out of the hands of people. You got to make the world will be safer if there are fewer guns in the world. The world, the place will be, you'll make us feel better. And I think that's what it boils down to. I think it boils down to the concept of this. It feels better because the statistics and the numbers don't speak like it feels better. I mean, Chicago is the number one murder capital in the world. You got Chicago, New York, L.A., D.C., all places with really strict gun control laws and places in which the civilian population is required to pretty much disarm themselves and be taken advantage of because, you know, you don't want guns in the hands of civilians because somebody might get hurt. Yet the criminals are the ones who are not really paying attention. You see, that's, what I think, where we get lost. First, let me address this point. If you do not like guns, if you are the type of individual that says, I don't like guns, I don't want them in my house, I respect you and I recognize the fear from which you speak. Now, that fear might be the fact that you've got young kids and you don't know how they'd behave around a firearm and you don't want them to get hurt because of their own ignorance and stupidity. And yes, it is ignorance and stupidity. It might be the fact that you may have had a bad experience. You may have gone shooting when you were younger before you became an adult. Said, I don't like this. I don't want this around me. I got it. I really do. And the point is, most people don't recognize that even though those of us who are advocates of the Second Amendment, those of us who support the idea of the right to bear arms, those of us who actually bear arms and carry a weapon, recognize the fact that some people just don't want them around. Okay. Fine. Don't have one. Believe it or not, it's the same argument for 100 other things. But recognize the simple fact that when you call a cop, what does he show up with? When a neighbor, such as the gentleman who was across the street, I think changing his oil in his car, just doing something innocuous, and learned about the gunfire at the church, got up and ran and grabbed his own weapon and engaged this guy, a 26-year-old loser, who was out to kill what turns out to be probably members of his ex-family because they attended that church, and put a couple of rounds in him. Now listen, it's not easy to pull a gun and fire that gun on a person. Everybody that has ever done it carries the burden of that moment in their psyche. Whether it was by accident, such as that 9-year-old girl several years back who killed her instructor in Arizona by accident, or whether it's somebody handling a weapon they have no business handling because they don't know how to deal with it, and it fires. It just goes off because they don't know what they're doing. They pull the trigger. Just so that you know, guns just don't go off. You got to pull the trigger. Unless they're broken, and the sears don't engage, and the springs are bad, or the safeties are screwed up, unless they're broken, those mechanical devices don't go bang unless you pull the trigger. We are living in a society in which we think we could legislate good behavior. We've gotten to the point where the next step is to dictate what is right and what is wrong. Remember something. Laws don't exist for people that are good. Laws don't exist for people that are respectful, that are courteous, that recognize the rights of others. You know, the old saying was, your rights end when my nose begins. Remember that growing up, you used to have that sphere, that personal space. Basically, you stuck your arms out, okay? And that was your personal bubble. Nowadays, we don't even recognize the idea of personal space. We don't even teach our kids the ideas of respect. Not necessarily respect of others, respect for themselves, because if you can respect yourself, you'll naturally respect others, because you will expect them to be brought up the same way. And this isn't about words or talking about things that people might get upset about or dealing with them in a fashion which they might find disrespectful because you said something. You know, the best part about children is they're not racist, they're not homophobic, they're not Islamophobic, they're not anti-this, they're not anti-that, they are taught everything. Kids are a clean slate. Now, I used to talk about education with children as the goldfish concept. A child will rise to the expectations that you give it. If you expect your child to go to college, if you expect your child to be high-ranked in their class, if you expect your child to perform, and I don't mean perform like a dancing monkey or a dancing bear, but perform in a manner in which people look up to them, they will do that because that's what you expect of them. You know, one of these things I have and one of the problems I have with, No Child Left Behind is the concept that we drag the top down to make the bottom feel better about itself. Or that period in time when we went through and we gave everybody an award for participating. That doesn't work that way. And the reason why it doesn't work that way is that we're not giving them anything to, and pardon the pun, to shoot for. Kids need goals. They are goal-driven. They are naturally goal-driven. They are animals. Animals are naturally goal-driven. If you are hungry, you will go out and hunt. If you want to buy the newest Xbox game, you will go out and find a way to earn the money to buy the newest Xbox game. That's the natural order of things. We do things when we have that carrot and stick concept. And that's where gun control advocates seem to lose the concept of being able to recognize the carrot and stick. See, gun control, and I always make the joke, and I mean it seriously, gun control means using two hands. It means hitting your target. It does not mean grabbing a weapon and pulling the trigger and praying that you hit something. The spray and pray method, which, by the way, is the leading cause of death for drive-by shootings in inner cities in which we have problems such as that, such as Chicago, L.A., New York, etc. I think the last numbers I saw for those three cities alone in a one-year period were over 3,000 people dead from the ages of 10 on up involving a firearm. Now, do I blame guns? No. I blame people that lack complete respect for themselves, absolutely no respect for the law, and feel that threats of violence and violence in general are the only way to communicate. You know, those things are a problem. They are a bigger problem than guns, because guess what? If you don't use the weapon as a form of communication, you'll find out that you're actually starting to communicate. My wife is a very special person to me. She is a, I've talked about her before, she's a chemist. I married an absolute nerd. I really did. She was a chemist working on her master's degree when she met me. She's a scientist. She's got this analytical mind. She's just a very, very special person to me. And now she's a very, very, very special person to a whole bunch of other people because she's taken on the mantle of dealing with children with autism. And yes, this does have to do with guns, by the way. Because just as I grew up in a house filled with alcohol, I mean, my father and mother had more booze than you could shake a stick at. If you needed to manufacture Molotov cocktails for a revolution, my house was the house you would have stopped at first when we were kids. We had little bottles. We had big bottles. I got bottles of booze I got from my father that are so old, they go back to the 1940s, if not before. And they haven't been opened. I don't drink. I'm not a drinker. I like a good glass of scotch. Maybe a nice fine wine. Maybe even a hard soda. You know, something goofy. And my wife likes a wine cooler. But we're not drinkers. And the reason I point this out is, to this day, I still have as much booze. Well, not as much booze as my parents had when we were growing up, because I entertained a little bit more. But the fact of the matter is, I got booze coming out of my ears. But my kids aren't drunks. I'm not a drunk. My wife isn't a drunk. If you want to pull out the stops of, oh, wow, that's, if she was Irish, she'd be. Nope. I married the only Irish girl I could ever meet that's allergic to alcohol. Two sips out of a wine cooler and pff, woman's done. We don't drink. And the reason I bring this up is our kids were exposed to the alcohol. They don't drink either. Can they if they want to? Sure, they can taste anything I've got on the table in front of me. All they got to do is ask. My kids learned to shoot when the youngest one was 9 and the oldest one was 13. Now, the oldest one may not like it, but heaven forbid you step in front of her. She knows how to pull that bolt and fire that weapon, whether it be a handgun or a rifle. And my middle son, my son, and my youngest daughter, they want to go as often as they can to the range. The point is this. We teach respect. Now, all of these things are, oh, respect, of course, you know, it's you're a minor issue because you're just teaching your kids about that. Well, of course we are. We teach people. See, behavior is learned. See, this is the thing that my wife does with the autistic kids. Behavior is learned. If you could teach somebody how to properly behave in a social environment, you could teach them. If the kid's running around, flapping her arms, screaming at the top of their lungs, and they won't sit their butt in a chair, how do you teach a kid anything? Same thing with an adult. If you can't communicate with that person, if you cannot teach that person the civility, that's where it is. Our issue isn't guns. Our issue is basic economics. Our issue is basic civility, basic living and lifestyles. If you've got no hope, if there is no way out, desperation takes hold. Now, I'm not talking like a socialist because this isn't a socialist issue. This clown in Texas, this loser in Las Vegas that murdered these people for what appears to be no reason. First of all, let's get something straight. There is no good reason to do such a thing. I have had the unfortunate benefit of knowing the adrenaline rush of drawing a weapon on an individual. I used to run armored trucks in New York City. I had somebody try to take a bag from me of money. I pulled my weapon at least, let's say, once. But it was more than that. Never had to fire it, but I'll tell you something. The adrenaline run is unreal. It's the closest equivalent I can give you is if you're above 150 pounds or 200 pounds, take two Starbucks double shots, the little ones, drink them back to back and sit in a chair. You'll understand what I'm talking about when your heart races. And you're wondering whether or not it'll explode out of your chest. This loser in Texas who walked into a church and massacred the congregants of that church. There is no explanation. There is no good explanation. The explanation was he was out to kill his, assumedly, out to kill his former members of his family. The guy was a freaking screw-up. Somewhere along the lines of a dishonorable discharge or a confinement in the U.S. Air Force, the inability to not be able to fire a firearm was not carried forward. Oh, and by the way, yeah, he did fill out the form, and he did go through a background check, but the material was missing. So those of you who say background checks stop gun buyers, no, actually, they don't, because, see, they only stop people who are actually willing to fill out the form and comply with what? Oh, yeah, the law. Killing people is not lawful. Negating, of course, the circumstances in which there is an exception to the rule. The gentleman who shot at this guy and hit him is not going to be held responsible for his death. Did he kill him? Yes, he did. Did he contribute to his death? We'll say yes, he did. Was it illegal for him to do so? No, it wasn't. Because we've heard worldwide numerous events in which things like this have happened and where it takes 30 minutes, an hour, for the police to show up with a gun to stop the person who's now busy killing everybody in his sights. Look it up. It's out there. It's happened in other places in this world. The issue is evil. The issue is bad people. Good people with guns don't hurt people. Bad people, evil people, hurt people. And blaming an AR-15 because it looks mean as part of the assault rifle ban that didn't really ban assault weapons but only banned things that looked mean doesn't accomplish anything. You see, it's what we are unwilling to accept as a society is what's driving us nuts. We're unwilling as Americans. Now, as Americans, we are unwilling to accept, in general, that evil exists in this world. Because we have been naturally insulated from that fact. We're going to quickly learn that evil exists in this world, and we're going to quickly learn that there are some parts of this world that are filled with evil, and evil is what controls, if we don't deal with the immigration issues, such as the refugees that have spilled over from the not-so-civilized Arab world. But that's an argument for another day. But we, in general, as Americans, whether you're on the Second Amendment support side or the it's-an-outdated constitutional amendment that doesn't need to be here because our government's not going to do those things that they said can't be done, and we're okay with it. Only the state should have weapons. Well, regardless of what side of the argument you're on, the right or wrong part, or the I'm the right side, they're the wrong side, or whatnot, America in general is just a simple, our concepts are simple. We don't recognize evil in this world because we don't want to. Because that's not the way we were raised. Yeah, you've got racist assholes out there who judge people by their skin color or sexist by their sex, or anybody out there who decides to judge people based upon what you're looking at. People do that. People will eventually learn. You know, it's 150 years since the Civil War, and we still have issues with skin tone. Some of it has to do with the fact that, and these are facts, I'm sorry to interrupt you guys and upset you people, some of it has to do with the fact that certain groups of people commit more crimes than other groups of people. I got it. But when you find the leadership and you find the strength and you find the examples in those groups, they're no longer held out as aspirations. You know, I'll go back to the pivotal point in American history, which is the 1960s, when you had people who stood up for what was right. They marched and they spoke and they wrote and they marched and they spoke and they wrote and they did it again and they did it again and they did it again. But they weren't the ones who raised their hands. They showed the lack of validity of their counterposition by not raising their hands. Look at the demonstrations that go on today, whether it be for gun rights or whether it be for anti-gun rights or whether it be for, you know, this Antifa movement or this anti-political movement, this communist socialist movement that's on. Look who's throwing the punches. Look who's playing the game of identity politics. And you'll recognize that's the bad side. The side that's getting punched up, the side that's got their hands in their pockets, the side that is peacefully marching and protesting and speaking, that's the correct side to be on. Because if you are willing to take the punches and willing to make the speeches and willing to stick your neck out for what you believe is right without needing to beat up, literally, the other side, then guess what? The other side does look like the loser. There are times, don't get me wrong, where you need to take a bully by the neck. Maybe bang their head in a car door or throw them off a bridge or just beat them to death in a school parking lot. But in general, violence really is a last resort. And it's certainly not an effective political tool. Not in a civilized society. So, I mean, Gandhi did a hell of a job in India, but pissing off the English to the point where they couldn't figure out how to stop this clown. So they picked up and left. They left a goodbye screw you by splitting up Pakistan and not figuring out Kashmir. But, nonetheless, they left the subcontinent. King advanced the civil rights era in the 1960s by literally keeping his hands in his pocket, and he got himself killed for it. Yet today, those who inherited the benefits of his actions have allowed the government to once again enslave them. And if you don't think those on welfare or those who are getting government assistance are not enslaved, you got another thing coming. Because enslavement means you're dependent upon somebody else for the things that you need to survive. It may not be chains that you're wrapped in. It may be economics. It may be educational. You know, we fought long and hard to recognize that education, separate but equal education, was not equal, but it sure as hell was separate. And now we see our own students in college demanding separate spaces, safe spaces, because words hurt them and ideas scare them. You wonder why people are screaming about guns. Because the idea of somebody being evil enough to hurt you frightens you. Well, if that's the case, then do something about it. Yes, I said do something about it. And it doesn't mean disarm yourself and say, I'm better than you are. Some people may have to go down that path. Some people may have to go down the path and disarm themselves and say, you know what? I don't want guns in my house. I don't want guns in my cars. I don't want guns near my kids. I don't like guns. And guess what? I respect you, and I honor your wishes, and I will respect that by not interfering with your decisions. But don't make your decisions my decisions. Be right back. I need a breather. All right, sit tight. I appreciate the time.
Freedom comes with a price. Responsibility. This is the Warren Markowitz Show.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-0514 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-0514 to take your call now. Call 1-800-516-0514. That's 1-800-516-0514. Again, 1-800-516-0514.
The Warren Markowitz Show. It's his world. You just live in it.
Okay, back to where we started off. We started off talking about gun control means using two hands. Yeah, that's my obnoxious SOB way of saying, you know what? You got to be responsible for yourself. And that's where this conversation is going. That's where the gun control advocates need to go with this conversation. Because if they really want to understand the impetus, the importance of a firearm in an individual's hands, they have to recognize two things. A, evil exists in this world. B, you must be able to counter such evil when it shows up. And that means using the proper tools. If you are going to race in Formula One racing, are you going to be using a high-end go-kart? No. Are you going to be using something designed for NASCAR? No, you're going to be using a tool, a Formula One racer that is designed to perform on a Formula One racetrack. So, what do you need to do? Now, the understanding is this. When you've got 8, 10, 12 million people crammed into a very small area, the idea of knowing your target and recognizing what's behind your target becomes extremely important. You see, basic firearm skills means when you shoot at something, you got to know not only what where your target happens to be, but where what's behind your target that could potentially be injured by it. That's why responsible people learn these things. Irresponsible people scream and say the tool is bad. I'm waiting for them to start us requiring to be registered with our kitchen knives. Because, you know, you can't kill somebody in the house without a kitchen knife. You also can't cook without a kitchen knife. You also can't, well, cut your steak without a kitchen knife. You also can't cut a potato without a kitchen knife. You also can't, you get where I'm going with this? The ridiculousness of regulating behavior for those persons who will not comply. See, law-abiding citizens are actually just that. We decide to abide by the law. Again, go back to the circumstance of, if I want to buy a gun, I have to do certain things. If you don't want to buy a gun, you don't have to do those things because you're not putting yourself in the same position. When you got somebody you tell, you know, killing people is not a good idea. It's illegal. You shouldn't do that. Well, that's all you got. And what you're doing is you're saying to him or her or whatever it may be that if you do that, you're going to be punished for this. And you're hoping the punishment will keep them and change their mind from doing something. Obviously, this loser in Texas and this whack job and absolute loser in Las Vegas didn't really care about the repercussions of their actions, because had they, likely wouldn't have done what they did. My concept and my understanding of safety is very, very, very simple. Take it upon yourself. That's right. Take it upon yourself. Be responsible for yourself. Now, I'm an advocate of carrying a weapon. I'm an advocate of teaching kids to respect and understand how to use a firearm. I'm an advocate of teaching safety. I'm not necessarily an advocate of every schmuck running around with a gun. We should teach proper handling, and we should teach proper safety, and we should teach respect for tools. I got news for you. I'll share a secret with you. How's this one for you? I'll share a secret with you. I'm a grown man. One of the things that scares the daylights out of me, it's not spiders or snakes, they just creep me out, is the whine of an electric saw. You know, I know guys who work with these things day in and day out. I have friends that can run table saws and sawzalls and everything like that. That whine of that electric saw freaks me out. Yet, you can hand me an AR, you can hand me a Ruger, you can hand me a Colt, you can hand me a Springfield, and a bang 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 that comes out of the front of the barrel doesn't do a damn thing. I've never been properly taught how to use a saw. I mean, a handsaw is one thing, but an electric saw, I didn't learn because, A, my father didn't use one all that often. B, when he did, I was probably told not to touch the damn thing because I could lose my fingers. And I don't do very much work around the house when it comes to that. So, to me, learning how to use those tools means I'm not competent in using those tools. And I'm not being a wimp by saying I don't know how to use an electric saw. I'm simply saying if I had to use an electric saw, I would use it. Probably be more cautious in using it than normal because I don't really know how to properly use one. No one's ever taught me. I will learn. I am capable of learning. It's the same thing with guns. You learn how to sight. You learn how to clean it. You learn how to load it. You learn how to fire it. You learn how to holster it, and rinse and repeat. Same concept. Gun control is not the answer to a problem. Gun control simply removes what people assume to be the problem from the circumstance. China is a great example. Australia is a great example. Canada, it's too freaking cold in Canada. Not much happens up there. You really can't use Canada as an example. It's more like the frozen beach of North America. Nice people, but there ain't much going on up there. But when you look at places like China or Japan, where firearms in civilian hands are almost non-existent, and I literally mean almost non-existent, you had more guns in civilian hands in Soviet Russia than you got in China. The last time I heard of a mass murder or a mass event, some guy had a knife and was going around stabbing people. An event happened in Australia, or was it New Zealand or something like that, where civilian firearm ownership is extremely restrictive. And it took them 30 minutes to get a cop to show up to shoot the son of a bitch who was busy murdering people in the streets. The events that transpired, I'm not saying that an individual with a firearm could have stopped Paddock when he was shooting all those people at all those people from the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay on 1 October here in Las Vegas. Because even if people were armed in the crowd, you're talking 300 and some odd 350 feet up, a couple of hundred feet across in terms of basic math, and it was literally raining bullets. There was no aimed fire involved there. That general area works pretty good, if you ask me. It's pretty what was going through his head. But an armed security guard? Not somebody knocking on the door. An armed security guard could have fired back after he was getting shot at. Should have fired back. But in Texas, we must be, is a perfect example of why we have to be responsible for our own safety. It's disgusting, and I mean it sincerely. It is absolutely, positively, unequivocally disgusting. There are things in this country that really piss the daylights out of me that we have to concern ourselves with. Childhood hunger, homelessness, violence, threats of violence in our schools or our houses of worship. Those things bug the daylights out of me. I mean, they're about the equivalent of nails on a chalkboard at high volume. Because there are places in this world in which we are supposed to be safe. That we, as a society, have developed and determined to be safe places. You know, in Egypt, or in Iraq, or in Afghanistan, or in Saudi Arabia, or in any of these other places, houses of worship are fair targets because people put things in them that don't belong. And for those of you BDS supporters, you can go screw yourselves. But when Hamas puts rocket launches and fire and weapons in a hospital or a school in the middle of a civilian population, it's going to get blown up because it doesn't belong there. Why do you think hospital ships are marked the way they are marked? Big old red crosses on the side, painted bright white, so you could see the damn thing from miles away. Because they're not supposed to be filled with weapons. They're supposed to be filled with people who need assistance. The helpless. And you're not supposed to shoot at them. It's the same thing here in America. We don't shoot at churches. The firebombing of churches went out with the 1960s and the race riots. Game was over. Okay, it's not something that's popular. We don't do it anymore. We've learned that it's wrong. Obviously, now we have to start arming our people in the church because somebody decided it was a good idea to walk into one and start shooting people. It's not right. And there's where the gun control advocates lose sight of it. They think if they take the guns away or they make them harder to get, then the bad guys won't get them. Or the bad guys will go and come up with some other situation or some other solution. Maybe it would be a firebomb. Maybe it would be a mass stabbing. Maybe they'll just simply tie the chains, tie the, the doors of, do it Old West style. Put everybody in the church, tie the doors closed, and burn it to the ground. You know, the English used to do that during the Revolutionary War. Or any other twisted, psychopathic idea you come up with to mass murder people because they don't agree with you. Or because one or two people in the group pissed you off, so everybody gets to go too. I am at a point in my life where I cannot understand why people are so wrapped up in accepting the divide and conquer position that much of our government has spewed and much of our government is responsible for sharing. You see, are we Americans or are we hyphenated Americans? We're hyphenated and common Americans. You know, you're a white, male, Jewish, married, father, American. What purpose does it serve? Are we doing statistics? Then I can understand that. If we were doing statistics and we were trying to figure out what percentage of our population was married, what percentage of our population was male, what percent of our population was female, what percentage of our population identified as a ceiling fan or a lampshade, I get it. But when we're sitting back and recognizing that we are Americans and we have cultural issues in common, that's right, just so that you recognize a simple fact, we are not multicultural. America is a multi-ethnic country. Ethnicity, the most delicious part of immigration. Yes, I said it. Ethnicity, the concept of being able to share a meal with somebody, is what makes America really, really great. I know it's a bent out of shape concept and an idea that is a little off the topic for today. But whether you're English, well, I shouldn't say that. If you're American, if you swore up, if you were born here, you are American. If you raised your hand in a naturalization ceremony, you are an American. Now, your ethnicity, that's another story. We got a whole lot of that. That's the melting pot. If you've not watched or heard of Schoolhouse Rock, I suggest you get your butt over to YouTube, find the videos, and have a good time. No More Kings, Melting Pot, the Constitution, how a bill becomes a law, and everything else you could possibly think about was taught by Schoolhouse Rock in the 70s when we were kids. And if you missed it, you did miss something important. Because we're not multicultural. America has a culture of her own. We're definitely multi-ethnic. Okay, and if you think that is not true, I demand you to go to the Wall Street section of New York City. That would technically be where Broadway and Wall Street converge. And simply try to eat your way around the block. I may have shared this story before. I know I've told a lot of people, but I used to be a broker on Wall Street. Technically, it was Wall Street. I had an office there and also an office in Broadway. We had a goal one day. We decided to do something stupid. And I say something stupid because it's not something you would actually think of. But when you get a bunch of guys trying to figure it out and go ahead with it, it becomes one of those dumb things you talk about decades later. We're going to try and eat our way around the block. We are going to have breakfast and lunch from a different source for the next month. So that's 22 days. Technically in a business month, on a long business month, twice a day. So it's 44 different opportunities. We didn't get down the street. We literally didn't get past. We never made the corner. All right, let's leave it at that. There were 44 different places to buy food from. from the Korean buffet and grocer that had lines out the door during lunch, to the sandwich shops, to the hot dog vendors. I mean, when we recognize the fact that the government and the entrenched educational system is looking to divide us, we become stronger when we recognize the fact that we don't need to be divided. I don't care if you're a cisgender, non-binary, whatever the hell you want to call it. I don't care if you're gay or lesbian. I don't care if you're transsexual, transgendered, or trans automotive. It don't matter to me. How you treat me and how I treat you are the ways that people are necessary to treat respectfully, recognizing an individual's self-respect. You know, and I realize, again, we're talking about gun control, and this is important, too, about it. There is a professor at the University, I believe, of Toronto. His name is Jordan Peterson. The man has rocketed to the point of being a lightning rod in regards to free speech, because he will not use, or he will not allow himself to use, the zer or they's or them's pronouns that people are demanding, because they're now being legislated. And that's the same concept. When you legislate the way you speak, you legislate thought. So here's a thing of gun control. Is it gun control, or is it disarming the population? Because say what you mean. Gun control means using two hands. It means being aware of your target. It means being aware of your ballistics. It means knowing what's behind your target. It means being in control of your gun. I am all for of it. But what they're talking about is not gun control. What they're talking about is gun confiscation. They feel, and a lot of people feel, out of fear, that removing the guns or making the guns more difficult. And by the way, guns are not easy to buy. They're a pain in the ass to buy. They really are. Between the paperwork and the specialty shops and the expense and the costs and all the... They're a pain in the butt. But we're not talking about gun control. We're talking about gun confiscation. We're talking about the only... And if you go right down to it, these people believe that the only people that should have firearms are the government. Guess what? I'm not comfortable with that. Too many people, tens of millions of people over the last 100 years, have been murdered by their own government because they lack the ability to stand up for themselves. These people who died in Texas, it was an absolute tragedy, because this asshole should have started with himself and put a bullet in his head. I wouldn't be surprised if they classified him as a family destroyer or something along those lines, and find out that, you know, he was just out for hate. And he hated himself and he hated his family. And I don't doubt that at all. This clown who shot up these 600-some-odd people out of the 22,000 that he shot at on 1 October in Vegas, we'll find out about him eventually. The part that's bothering a lot of people is that we don't know very much about him now. But we will find out about him. We'll probably learn that he was somebody who was distraught about his life, depressed about things going, hated the world, hated the casinos, hated this. He was filled with hate. I'm probably one of the most arrogant, laid-back people you'll ever meet. I'm confrontational. I like to get into a good debate. Hell, I got into a debate with a couple of Jehovah's Witnesses and knocked on my door last week about good and evil when they tried to tell me the devil was in charge. The devil's not in charge. I never gave him permission. I don't know about you. But evil's definitely out there. And we can't legislate evil, and we can't dictate evil, but we can protect ourselves, and we can prepare ourselves. And unfortunately, with evil running around rampant in this world, It's up to us, not our governments, not our neighbors. It's up to you and I individually to control our own guns, to protect our own selves. And if we protect ourselves, we protect our neighbors, we protect our communities, and we protect, not the government, but we the people. I thank you very much for spending your time with me. I thank you, and I really do appreciate your support. We'll be launching a Patreon page shortly, but Spreaker.com, if you listen to it, there are adverts that are connected. Support the advertisers. Thank you again. My name is Warren Markowitz. You're listening to Politically Incorrect on the Warren Markowitz Show. And I will catch you again in a couple of days. Have a good one. Be good.
The Warren Markowitz Show. Politically incorrect speech for politically correct times. The Warren Markowitz Show. On Red State Radio, Spreaker, and Podomatic.